Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at consumer protection issues. There, every year, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection keeps track of the consumer complaints it receives and gets a kind of a scorecard together and comes up with a list of top 10 complaints. It's not the kind of list you want to find yourself on for the most part. I don't think anyway. Sandy Chalmers, the administrator in the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen, director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, our guest today. Sandy, good to have you back.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to be here.
Michelle, good to see you again.
Nice to see you as well. Thanks for having us.
Well, you folks compile this list of complaints. How do you use the data? Let me put it that way.
Well, one of the roles we play is as a monitor of the marketplace. You know,
sure.
Just looking for trends in consumer fraud, and having that information helps us get information to consumers, so they won't be ripped off. You know, knowing what to look for is probably the best defense a consumer has against fraud and deception. So it really helps us, first of all, kind of prioritize where we should put our resources. And then the second thing is that it helps us know what and how to communicate with consumers, because a lot of what we do is helping consumers prevent becoming a victim of fraud.
How many complaints do we get over the course of a year?
Well, last year we got just over 10,000 formal written complaints, and those written complaints take a little bit of effort on the part of a consumer to file, but those are complaints that we can take into an enforcement action and are very valuable to us when we end up prosecuting a business. But, you know, we get tens of thousands of contacts from consumers. A lot of people call our consumer hotline and just ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
They want to check to see if we have any complaints against a specific business. And we also have a website, you know, that hundreds of thousands of people get information from every year.
Yeah. You know, if we should take a look at that top 10 list. By the way, I want to invite you to join in if you have a question for our guest. Maybe you've had a bad consumer experience. Did you report it? Was it resolved to your satisfaction? Or do you have an issue right now you want to deal with? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show and you can post a photo, question, or comment right there. This list, we got a top 10 list here of complaints, and I suppose if we were mean, we'd start at the bottom and work our way up to the top. But let's start at the top anyway. It's probably not a big surprise anyway that number one is telemarketing. Is that correct?
Telemarketing and violations of the no-call law.
Yeah.
And probably every one of your listeners has gotten one of those pre-recorded robocalls, we call them. Let me back up a minute and say that technology is a wonderful thing. However, the advent of internet calling technology has really created some problems for consumers because these operations, most of which operate from overseas, are able to make hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of phone calls every day by using the internet. And that's how we have the pleasure of getting calls from Rachel,
yes,
who is a well-known pre-recorded pitch. And I guess the most important thing about those robocalls for your listeners to know is that you get so fed up with those calls and you want to fight back. Those pre-recorded pitches usually prompt you to press 1 to speak to a live person or to press 9 to be taken off the no-call list. Probably the worst thing you can do is to press a number, because the computer who's making those calls can use that information to identify your phone number as a live number. And then it also identifies you as a person who will respond to a fraudulent pitch. And
so
once,
there you are.
Once those criminals have that information, that's very valuable, and they can call you again and again because they think you're probably a sucker, or they can sell your phone number to other fraudulent operations. So it seems like it would be a good thing to press 9 to be taken off the list, but instead it just backfires on you, and you'll end up getting more calls.
Hmm. We'll talk some more about that, but let's go to number 2, Michelle. Complaints against telecom companies.
Telecommunications. For us, that means your cell phone agreement with your provider. It means your landline agreement and long distance. It could mean the complaints we receive when you have a bundled bill. And what we mean by that is your telephone bill is bundled with your television bill. So whether it's cable or satellite or another technology to receive television services. So it's complaints that we receive because there's billing disputes. There are issues with the contract agreement. There might be some misrepresentations. What we want to make sure consumers are watching is the fine print. You know, what is the agreement you're getting into? What is the contracted service? And then watching your bill. Are you being charged for things you didn't agree to? Are you being charged for what you agreed to? Are you not getting services that you were supposed to get? And this year, a majority of the complaints are from one cell phone provider in the state of Wisconsin that did a switchover to another company, and there was a loss of service for a period of time. And we're dealing with that through an investigation and working with the company to make sure consumers are receiving a refund and reimbursement for that. But consumers really need to watch for, you know, if they enter a cell phone agreement, that there isn't an early termination fee. Are you locked in for 2 years? Are you going to be okay with that? Be aware if you have an early termination fee and, you know, see your contract through, or realize you may need to pay that if there wasn't any break in your agreement with the service provider.
We have lots of callers online. Terry in Minocqua has a question for you, so let's go to Terry. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, it's actually Sherry, but that's okay. I had rented a car in Texas, and I did the rental online, but did not pay for the car till I got there. When I got there, the girl said, well, by the way, our rental for the whole week was to be $103 plus taxes. So the girl said to me, we have a special today. You can upgrade, because I had a compact car, you can upgrade for $119. And I said, total? And she said, yes. Okay, I decided to upgrade for the few dollars. But when I got the bill, when I returned the car, they told me it was $291. And I was told it was because I upgraded. And I had signed the receipt for the credit card.
Yeah.
It was so scratched that you could hardly read the screen. And my receipt is so tiny. I had to look hard to find that, yes, I did sign for $291, but that wasn't what I was told. But my question basically is, can I report that in Wisconsin, or do I have to somehow do it down in Texas? Because as I was complaining when I took the car back, there was a young man that was getting a car also. And as he walked past me when he was done before I was, he said, ma'am, they offered me an upgrade too, but I heard your story, so I refused.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're doing this to a lot of people.
Yeah, Sherry, I would file the complaint here in Wisconsin, because we can look at the first stage of it, the internet agreement. That happened when you were in your home and you entered into this agreement. Mm-hmm. The upsell portion of it might need to be handled by the Texas Consumer Protection Agency there. But what we can do through our working through the complaint is forward it to Texas on your behalf. But we would want to take a look at it first and look at all those terms and conditions that you agreed to. And was there anything with regards to, you know, an upsell when you did the internet portion? And we'd also be able to look at, do we have other complaints of a similar nature?
Okay.
Yeah. You talked about your receipt, but did you get an email confirmation that included the details of what you agreed to?
I do have an email confirmation, but I'll have to look at it and see exactly what it says. I don't remember. But when she said we have an upgrade for 119, to me, in my head, that said, okay, instead of $103, I'm going to pay $119, not $119 extra.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a good point for all the listeners to make sure you're asking those clarifying questions. Does that mean 119 total or an extra 119? Yeah. So that's a really good point for everyone.
I said to the girl, is that total? And she said, yes. So I was terribly misled.
Yeah. Well, send that in to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and you should... Sherry, go online or?
She can go online to download our complaint form, fill it out, and send it in. You can submit it through our website or call our 800 number and we'll mail a complaint form. But the website is datcp.wisconsin.gov. And then they can call the 800 1-800-422-7128 and be able to mail out that form.
Okay. And I'm sure we have a link to your site on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you didn't get it, just go to my Facebook. Yep, there it is. Go to my Facebook page, and we've got that link for you. Thanks, and appreciate your call. Got to be careful, don't you? Let's go to Rose in Ashland. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I have a question or just a comment about how interest charges on credit accounts are charged or figured out.
Okay.
I have always paid my credit bill off in total, but I was told recently that I ought to have a little bit of an interest charge on there just to make myself, to get a higher credit rating. And so 2 months ago, I owed $930 and I paid $800. And when I just got my bill, my interest charge for the, I assumed the $130 that was left was $24. So I called the credit card company, and it's a major credit card company, and they said, well, what they do is they look at the month after that bill was issued, and they figure out the interest charge on what my average amount, my average daily amount due for. So actually what they're doing is they're charging me interest on what I don't owe yet. Does that make sense? I mean, after he explained it three times, I got off the phone. I used all the ways that he explained how they figured it, and I came up with that amount. They're not charging me interest on even the $930. They're charging me interest on what my average daily balance was for the month after that $930 was owed. But this is a major credit card company. And I'm assuming this is the way they all do. I've never had this before because I've never held a balance over. And so it blew me out of the water. They owe $24 on a $130 amount that I didn't pay.
Yeah.
So who do I report this to? I want to report this. I think, I'm sure it's in their fine print that, you know, how they figure out their interest amounts, but I think it's really unfair because they're doing it on the daily balance after that bill was due. So they're charging me interest on what I do not owe yet.
Well, you can start by filing a complaint with us, and we'll take a look at what the issues are and either help you through it or refer it to another agency. But you should be receiving in the mail a terms and conditions type document explaining how your credit card works and how interest is calculated. I know it's difficult to try to wade through those, but it really matters. And I would say that if, you know, there are plenty of companies out there who would like to have your business. So if that credit card doesn't work the way you would like it to, cancel it and go with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I intend to do that. I intend to, when I pay this next bill in full, I intend to close my account and give them all the documentation because I feel like it's really unfair that I'm being charged interest on items that I don't owe it on yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So please file. And again, the number is, what's the number again to call to get a report?
It's 1-800-422-7128.
And otherwise, just go online to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We have a link at my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thanks, Rose, for calling. It is maddening, isn't it? I mean, it's I mean, as you kind of expect something better than that, to be perfectly honest. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in. You may have a consumer complaint of your own or an experience to share. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Post there or just email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Steve in Milwaukee next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I've got a couple of issues I'd like to bring up. One, in relation to the lady with the rental car situation, I had a somewhat similar experience. We rented a car out in San Diego for a week, and we did it through like a credit card rewards program. And then it came time to pick up the vehicle, and the clerk at the rental car place says, would you like to upgrade, and it'll cost you $20. And I made a point to say, is that for the entire week? Yes, it is, he says to me. And then, of course, when he printed out the bill, that was being charged every day. And I called him on it before I signed anything, and I said, fine, switch me back to the other vehicle. I don't want this. And the impression I got, it was like a lot of hard sell, and I think that the credit card companies operate, or credit card, excuse me, the rental car companies seem to operate on, they must pay their clerks by commission or something for upgrades and such, I get the impression. And the other issue I had, and I would just warn everybody out there, I had a horrible experience with Sprint cell phone when we were charging our bill every month on our credit card. And then mystery charges started to appear just out of nowhere that nobody could explain over there. And I one day spent over 4 hours, I kid you not, on the phone getting passed off from person to person to person trying to get to the bottom of it. And basically they stole over $150 from us. And their excuse was because of the fine print that I had waited more than 60 days to file the complaint. And the reason I did is I know, like so many other consumers, that going to battle with the phone company or any of these bureaucratic or corporations, that you're going to get passed off from person to person to person, and it's going to be an ordeal to recover your money. So I'd warn everybody, don't put it automatic on your credit card. It's and even when we filed with the credit card company, they pretty much put the burden on us, and they wouldn't really go to bat for us. Hmm. So I would warn people to avoid that.
Comments?
I agree as far as the automatic payments. I mean, if you're going to set up an automatic withdrawal or an automatic payment, you still need to be looking at your bill every single month and make sure that what they're withdrawing is the payment that they're at, you know, for that month's total. And then look at the bill. What are they charging you for? Is that the agreed upon amount, or are they sneaking extra charges in there? And that, you know, what Steve had to say goes back to what I was talking about with the telecommunication complaints, making sure you're monitoring your bill for any of those little extras. That's your method. Personally, if we're going to use the credit card or use electronic banking, we just go in every month and pay that proper amount rather than setting up automatics.
There we go. Thanks again for calling. Karen in Madison, I'm going to give you a chance next. Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This probably isn't the correct agency, but you might be able to give me a good start. Who does licensing on assisted living facilities as far as standards?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's probably a state. I mean, I didn't even know if it got involved with the Senate or, I mean, initially laws were probably made, but I would bet they're a nursing home, but I don't know.
Right. Karen, depending upon which aspect you need to file a complaint about, you could start with the Department of Health Services Agency for the state of Wisconsin, or it might be the Department of Safety and Professional Services, because they regulate doctors and nurses, whereas the other is more the facility. So,
would depending you repeat the second one, excuse me, safety?
And public services.
Professional services.
Professional.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay. Safety and professional services. Okay.
Yeah, really. We had a situation with my mom, and it all looks so good, and there's everything on the brochures, and you don't really know what the staff-to-person ratio is, and you don't know the qualifications. You don't know. They say 24-hour nursing, what that means, whether it's in another unit that has nothing to do with theirs, and it's there's a lot more questions, so I just advise anybody thinking, oh boy, mom and dad over in assisted living, just stop and think of all the questions ahead. You know, if they have water issues, my mom was dehydrated, and it was a known fact. And I was told, oh yeah, we're logging her water. It turns out they were guesstimating how much she was drinking at meals. She doesn't drink water at meals.
Oh, man.
Estimating. You know, you'd think professional logging for somebody who just came from the hospital dehydrated. But so you've got to be really and get everything written down, every agreement, everything, whether it's, okay, anything you talk to them about subsequent to, you know, being there.
And there are local agencies in most county or municipalities who have resources available for people in your situation, questions to ask and things to look for when you're looking for a facility.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. I bet Dane County has a whole bunch of services in a book. That's another thing, if anybody has a parent, Dane County, can't think of what it is, but they've got all senior research, anything you can think of in Dane County, all in one book.
Karen, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, and good luck. I'm sorry you had those problems. We had an email from Sarah, and this goes back to something we talked about earlier, frankly, and we more or less asked and answered, but there are people tuning in who weren't listening earlier. So let's talk about these robocalls, credit card robocalls. How do you get them to stop? Sarah, she presses the phone key to speak to a representative and tell them to stop, and then no one ever comes to the phone. And Sandy, that's just what you were talking about earlier, isn't it?
The best thing you can do is either not pick up at all, or once you hear that pre-recorded pitch, just hang up your phone. Pressing a button is not a good idea, and it will result in you getting more calls.
So, don't talk to them. Maureen and Fond du Lac, on to you now. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Yes. Love you, Larry. Anyway, I had two consumer complaints, and I'll try to make it brief. One was with an insurance company. I had trees fall on my roof, and anyway, in the end, I want to tell you that the insurance company was probably right after all my going back and forth, but I felt that they weren't talking to me. I'm in medicine, so I'd be like talking in medical terms, and they were talking to me in insurance. Anyway, that was my first one, and I do believe that I was wrong. The second one, though, I would never buy anything over the television, that because if you want to return it, you know, they give you a 30-day return, you can't find out how to do that. And my credit card, actually, company helped me with that. So I just wanted to share that, and I'll hang up.
All right, thanks for calling. So if you order something over the television and you get it and you decide you don't want it, sometimes it's a problem to know where the heck to send it back.
Those good old infomercials. Yeah, before you order something by phone, whether the ad is on TV or not, make sure you have a clear understanding of the shipping and handling fees, which sometimes can be excessive, and make sure you understand what happens if you're not satisfied with whatever it is you're buying. Quite often, consumers are stuck with the mailing back charge, and there may be a restocking fee, or, you know, and that those charges can go on and on. So those are good questions to ask before you buy.
I want to. We should go back to that top 10 list because we may never get through it all here if we're not careful. And I think third was, what was that? Was it landlord?
Landlord-tenant issues. We receive a number of complaints from consumers about landlord-tenant issues, and that's the contractual agreement, you know, the rent charges that are every month. And most of our complaints come down to security deposit issues. Did someone receive their security deposit back within 21 days or the itemized accounting if there was withholding? And then there's complaints arguing about should they have been charged for something and had a withholding from their security deposit. That's the bulk of the complaints we get. There are other issues that come up with landlord-tenant, and those would reside around, you know, the conditions of the property and some disclosures made upon rental. But what tenants, you know, they have a responsibility to look at their rental agreement that they're entering into with the landlord. Landlords need to disclose everything, what terms and conditions, are there quiet hours, you know, what parking is, what all the fees will be, what the rent is made up of, and how much that rent will be each month. And then tenants, you know, when you check in, when you first get into your apartment, you have 7 days. Fill out a check-in form. Inspect the property when you're first moving in and make sure you're giving that condition report to the landlord. The landlord could choose, you know, what they want to correct if it's not a health and safety issue, if it's just, you know, nicks and dents and goofy doorknobs kind of thing on the bedroom door. But though for the tenant to document all that, that will prevent them being charged when they check out for that damage. So that's the best protection. And then when you depart, make sure you're turning in your key, you're ending your agreement, but that you're also making note of the way you left the property again, because that'll help resolve any disputes if you do have withholdings.
And let's do one more before we go back to phones. I mean, all our lines are filled here, but I want to also mention one other one, which involves home improvement, is it not? Home improvement, I think. That was the number four complaint.
Right, and home improvement is a perennial on the top 10 list, primarily because it usually involves quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
You know? But this is another situation where you really want to do your homework in advance. Ask your friends, neighbors for recommendations on a contractor. Do not hire, no matter what the situation, do not hire these people who drive through after a tornado or a windstorm has gone through your community, because they're likely to take your money and leave town. But when you're working with a contractor, decide in advance exactly what the job's going to involve. Get everything in writing so there's no room for disagreement between you and the contractor. You know, the total price, starting and completing date. Make sure you have the lien waivers in place, because that can be a big problem. But again, this is another situation because there's so much money involved in a basement remodel or even building a deck. You really want to do your homework in advance and make sure you're hiring the right person.
Let's go to Lee in Green Lake next. Hi, Lee.
Hello. First of all, I appreciate having the show on while I'm on hold instead of elevator music. That's very good. My question is on this number portability, and you kind of talked about bundled plans before. I had a landline with a computer, and that kind of got to be like $80 or $90 a month, so I discontinued that. But I wanted to hold the number, so they were charging me like $11 a month. When I got the cell phone, it wasn't possible at that time. This is maybe 15 years ago, where you could convert your landline to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
My question with this portability agreement, is that correct that they can charge you for that? It's set up like on a vacation plan now to hold that number.
What I'm aware of for portability is through the cell phone, that you can port your cell number to a new cell carrier. I'm not still sure on the agreements that go from landline to cell phone, as far as what those agreements are. The Public Service Commission, with the State Public Service Commission, knows more about the regulations behind the portability issue. Mm.
Okay, so would there be a number to call in? I mean, I have called the phone company, and the answer I get is, no, in order to keep this, you have to pay your $11 a month. So it maybe comes down to either you just let go of the number. You know, with the issues now, because of cell phones, there's no listing, so a lot of people look up in the phone book, and, you know, it's as a disconnected number.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the phone number for the Public Service Commission right now.
Yeah, what you can do is call our toll-free hotline, 1-800-422-7128, and they'll give
they'll
you the number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's 1-800-422-7128. Correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lee, for calling. Sybil in Cable, hello to you.
Good. I'm great. Thank you. My question is, I heard that if you have credit cards that you don't use, it goes against your credit rating because you have the option of using them. But I also heard that if you cancel a credit card, it's also bad for your credit rating. So what is a person to do?
I have heard the same thing, and my understanding is if you have extensions of credit available to you, that's what makes up your credit score. How are you with your credit, and do you have a lot of credit extensions available to you? So having a credit card that's not used and just hanging out there does not put your credit score in a good light. I've canceled mine when that happens, and I didn't have any impact with my credit score because all of those were in good standing, and there'd been this non-use behind that history. So I don't know of anything different.
Yep. Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. It is, they always say it's good, though, to have a credit card or two.
Mm-hmm.
Should have one or two.
Yeah, to show how you take care of your credit. Yep. That helps establish your credit score, and you want to be able to maintain the payments and have it in a good light. But if you just have 3-4 cards and you're only using the one, it's not good to have all that extended credit available to you either.
Dorothy in Presque Isle. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Good program again today. And that was going to be one of my comments, was that we either read or heard about it on a news program that if you decide for one reason or another to cancel your credit card, you are to have them mark your account that it was closed by your request. Otherwise, someone just looking at your account maybe would think that the credit card, they dumped you, you know. And then the other one up in Presque Isle here, we just ended up with the third-party billing argument going on. And then we were told you notify your phone company that you will not accept any third-party phone calls or charges. And then they mark that on your billing, too. So, any truth to that?
Any truth to that?
Yes, you should communicate whether or not you want any third-party billing, especially if you start to see it popping up. Because
right.
that is a service that telecommunications providers or credit card providers will offer to consumers, and often they don't realize it exists until that first first payment or that first item appears on the card. We call it cramming.
what's the service term that's provided?
Nothing. Yeah, sometimes it's a travel club service that you might see pop up on your credit card or your telecommunications bill, your telephone bill. So we call it cramming, especially if it wasn't authorized ahead of time. And that's one of those things you definitely want to be on the lookout for. But if you communicate to the credit card company or the telephone provider that you want to put a block on this third-party billing, if they offer that as a service to you, it will prevent those extra charges from happening.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dorothy, for calling. Rose in Blanchardville, on to you now. Hi, Rose.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, on my mind, I would like to give some credit to our credit to the credit card company that I deal with.
Good.
I had a problem with switching from one cable company to another. And I told the person on the phone that I no longer want their service and that I will go into another one, which is what I did. Well, I got billed $200 for that month. So I thought, well, maybe they need that extra month for whatever. I don't know what. So the following month came, and lo and behold, I was billed again for the $200 plus the new cable company that I had. So then I thought, well, what do I do now? I didn't know where to go with this billing. So I called again, and I told the person on the phone, I says, you could see I'm not having your service. You could see that I'm not having your service. I want nothing to do with your company at this point. And she says, well, it probably is going to take some time for this to happen. And I'm thinking, what? So the following month comes along, and I get billed again. So this is like $600 already for 3 months. And I'm thinking, I've got to do something. This is really a problem. So I called my credit company, which happened to be Chase Visa, and I said to the guy, I says, you know, I'm having this problem with my you know, program. I says, if you look at my billing, you see that I've been billed since March for two cable companies, and I says, I told the one that I didn't want to be charged anymore, and that happened to be Dish. But anyway, no, it was the other one, well, whatever it is. But anyway, so he very nonchalantly says, oh, we'll take care of that for you. And lo and behold, he did. The following month, I had no billing from the other company. So and it didn't take anything for me to do this. All I had to do was talk to somebody at my credit card company. So I think they do a lot of things that we're not aware of. I think maybe we should ask them questions.
Yeah.
Well, there are state and federal protections on credit card users, and I'm glad to hear they were following the law. But if you ever see what you would consider to be an unauthorized charge or billing error on your credit card statement, get in touch directly with your credit card company, and you have 60 days to file a written request to the credit card company saying that you're disputing that charge, and you know they will try to work it out with you. The other very, very convenient service that credit card companies are providing now is they're looking very closely for fraudulent transactions on your credit cards, and we regularly get calls from our credit and debit card companies saying, hey, were you in Escanaba, Michigan, you know, this weekend?
Yeah.
So that, you know, they're really working hard to protect consumers from that kind of fraud.
Yeah. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. I mean, I was so happy.
Appreciate it very much. Well, there's a good story, a happy story, happy ending anyway.
That's
I
great.
Hope she got her money back from the first couple of months, but maybe she's just happy to have the whole thing stop. Oh, man. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Renan from the Bureau of Consumer Protection, our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. We finally have some open lines again. So if you have a question for our guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, as we talk consumer protection issues, I hope you'll call us. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page as well at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question there. And as a matter of fact, Linda posts on my Facebook page a question. Has anybody talked about Element Mobile? I sent letters, called, followed their directions when I was not getting any service. Since I'm disabled, my phone was my lifeline. Left a message after several attempts to contact the service department. Just got a new phone from a different provider. The bill has now gone to collections. And Michelle, do you want to comment? I think you commented on this a little earlier, to be honest. You didn't mention the company.
That's exactly it. We talked about telecommunications and what to watch for, and that there was a carrier that had a switchover, and that was Element Mobile. And as a result, we received hundreds of consumer complaints in the 600 number, honestly, of consumer complaints about people who didn't receive service for a number of days or weeks, and then we had some mapping issues, so they weren't getting the same coverage area. And then there was some technology issues with the devices that they had in that they weren't getting data. So, Linda, I hope that you've filed a complaint with our agency, because we're sorting all those into groups and we're in negotiations with Element Mobile. If you haven't, please do file that complaint so we can make sure that you're being taken care of, because we also have another group of individuals with the Element Mobile, and those are the ones that have gone to collections, especially if they'd been in communications with Element about trying to resolve the issue. So, like I said, either call our 800 number or go to our website and file that complaint if you haven't already.
All right, let's go to Joya in Fitchburg next. Hi, Joya. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
I have a similar question or, you know, incident with the two satellite company. We had a contract with one satellite company for two, you know, when you sign up these days, you have to sign up for two years.
Yeah.
And we have both international line as well as the domestic line. And, you know, one of the international company, they discontinued their contract with that satellite company. And so I said, you know, whether I can get out of my contract, because that was one of our interests to you know, get become registered with them or hire them.
Sure.
Well, first of all, they said no. And then she said, no, if you get out before the contract finishes, your contract finishes, then you have to pay penalty for you know, what you call the severance penalty. And I said, you know, how can that be? Because you people are not providing what we want to see. They discontinued, as a consumer, you know, I'm not happy. So why should I have to pay penalty? Well, they said, no, this is our policy, and you have to pay the penalty. And eventually I had to pay the penalty because we got the other satellite company, which had that international channel. But the thing is, I ended up paying the penalty. And is there any way? My husband says, no, you are supposed to pay the penalty. I said, no, why, if they are not providing the channel, which they were originally agreed to, why should I pay the penalty? Now, can you tell me and advise me about this? Mm-hmm.
I would like you to file a complaint, and we will mediate that for you. Based on what you've said, it appears that the company itself has breached the terms of the contract. So I'm not sure they have a right to ask you to pay that early termination fee.
So, again, what's the 800 number again?
It's 1-800-422-7128.
1-422-7128?
Right.
Yeah, 1-800.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay.
Well,
because that, you know, it's not much of money to dispute it, but it's a question of, I'm sure the same thing is happening with some other consumers, too.
As well, yeah.
But at the same time, it sounds like you're paying for something you're not getting, and
yeah,
that's not right.
Yeah, absolutely. Joya, thank you very much for calling. And Juan in La Crosse, on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Some years ago, I had something put in my gas tank, and I talked to my insurance company, and they okayed the repair. The insurance adjuster was on vacation for week after week after week, and finally the garage turned me over to a collection agency. And I talked to the guy, the insurance guy, and he just kept putting me off. So it was probably 4 or 5 months later, I talked to the Wisconsin Insurance Commission, and within 2 days, they were almost knocking at my door. I mean, they were trying to settle and make me happy, and my agent wasn't very happy about it, but it was really a worthwhile call to the Wisconsin Insurance Commission. commission.
Yeah.
Well, they're similar to us in that they have means of enforcement available to them. And quite often when consumers can't get anywhere themselves, they'll bring us into the situation. And because companies understand that we can ask them to pay a forfeiture or, you know, that kind of thing, they are more willing to deal with the consumer.
They were certainly my lifeline. I did business with a car dealership, and he was getting ugly, and it was like, geez, I was doing everything I could, but I couldn't get any satisfaction. And,
yeah.
Well, that Wisconsin Insurance Commission cracked a whip, and I'll tell you what, 2 days.
There you go. Probably, yeah, and as you say, it didn't make your maybe your insurance guy or person happy, but
no, he was not.
But well, he should have been following up on this and handling it for you.
Yep, there you go.
That's, yeah, that's exactly true. Right. I have a good insurance agent. he's on the spot, right, and has helped me out many, many times. So I haven't had that kind of situation before. I'm sorry, you had it one. Dawn in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Dawn.
Hi there. So my husband and I, we refinanced our mortgage, and when it gets down to the escrow part, we say we aren't going to use escrow, and then we are charged a fee for not using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how that...
Why is that?
Exactly. How can I be charged for not using something? Because there's a slippery slope there, you know.
Right. Same thing happened to me when I purchased or refinanced my home. Department of Financial Institutions is the one who regulates the banking aspects and gets involved with the mortgage. My assumption in this all it is that, you know, the bank's not holding that money in escrow, so they're not earning any interest on it. And so they probably pass that along to the consumer in the form of a fee, but the money they're losing out on, or the, I guess, profit, because the bank is a business. But that's just, you know, my assumption. Department of Financial Institution would be the agency for the state of Wisconsin that really gets right into the regulations of that.
All right. Very good.
All right.
The financial regulation, you said.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Frank in Glidden, your turn. Hi, Frank.
Well, hi, Larry. Well, I got a reoccurring problem on the phone here. I get a call telling me that I have an internet connection, and it's broken English. And what I can make out of it, they're telling me that I have they are getting warnings about from my server, and they want to go on my computer remote and repair this for me. and I ask questions. I can't get an understandable answer because the lady on the phone speaks broken English. So I refused to let them go on my computer, and then I tried to call back the number, which was unassailed on my caller ID, and I keep on getting busy, you know, but yet they keep on calling back about 3 or 4 times. And this has been going on for the last few days. And it's in regards to telling me that I'm, you know, when I social networks and you're downloading and uploading programs, which I don't really do in the first place. So, you know, I was curious, is there a way to find out how to validate a company like this that's claiming that you got a serious problem on your PC, want to go in and remotely fix it for you?
Well, there are a number of scams out there involving people's personal home computers. One involves Microsoft, and another involves these what you just described. Just remember that these telephone scammers are really, really good at what they do. They will say anything or do anything to get you to give them your credit card number or any other personal kind of information. If you have a question about your internet service or whether there's some kind of a virus on your computer, call your internet service provider directly. That's the best source of information for you. But in general, do not respond to these phony solicitations. And remember, these people may say they're from Microsoft. They may say they're from your internet service provider. They might say they're from your bank. When they start to ask you for credit card information or social security numbers, that's when you know it's a scam. And just hang up.
There you go. Thanks for calling. And Ben in Appleton, hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to piggyback a little bit earlier, that Element Mobile. I just tuned in at kind of the end of it. But I did submit, you know, this is months ago. I mean, probably, I don't even remember. Maybe it's a year ago even. I had problems, and I submitted to the agency there and never heard anything. You know, I sent in my paperwork, all that stuff. Never heard anything. They did send me to collections and contacted me, and I told them I wasn't going to pay it. And that was months ago, and I never got anything more from collections, never heard anything from the Consumer Protection Agency, and just kind of in limbo, and just wondering what you could tell me.
Uh-huh.
Ben, I would encourage you to call our 800 number and make sure we received your complaint. My assumption is absolutely we have it. There's over 600 with this, and I know when we were first getting all of them all at once, there were initial letters going out. But all those complaints are part of the larger investigation. And maybe the reason you haven't heard anything more on collections is because we were dealing with Element on that issue with all the complaints we had. But I would just ask that you call our 800 number just to verify we have your complaint, get your complaint number, and then ask to talk to the investigator on the case so that they know you were one of the individuals with a collections issue and we can verify that you were part of that collection effort we're making with Element.
And so that that's ongoing, and who knows when that's going to be over with.
Well, the investigation was recently wrapped up, and now we're determining whether to refer the case for prosecution to the Department of Justice. So it is moving forward. I know these people have been waiting a long time for an answer. Unfortunately, it was a very complicated case, and there were hundreds of complaints to sort through. But we're continuing to work with Element Mobile to resolve this and are definitely willing to refer the case for prosecution if we have to.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests, they'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at consumer issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have them along. Thank you so much for listening in. If you have a question, I hope you'll join in with it at 1-800-642-1234 or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there as well. And Paul in Hubertus has an issue for you guys to take a look at. Paul, hi.
Hi, Larry. Last month purchased a microwave. My wife and myself purchased a microwave from a local retail outlet. Went in to pick it up on Thursday. Was told it wasn't in the shop yet. It's still on the way. Went back the following Monday, only to find out that the place closed on Sunday. And we've been in touch with the Consumer Protection Agency and with the manufacturer through email, or the retailer through emails, but aren't getting anywhere and just wondering, you know, how long does the process take?
Oh, it can take a long time. And maybe you can talk about it, Michelle.
It can take a little while to go back and forth between getting the information from you and communicating with the business. If things aren't going well at this point, I think you said you did this about a month and a half ago or so, Paul.
It was in January, yeah.
Yeah. What Sandy talked about earlier with your credit card, if you purchased it using a credit card, there are You can file a dispute, but that's limited, that protection. You need to file that dispute with the credit card company within 60 days, and you might be able to get a charge back for the failure of the business to deliver the product. So since it sounds like you're coming up on that 60-day mark and things aren't going well with the complaint process and the business and getting your microwave, I would file the dispute with your credit card company if you used that as your form of purchase.
Unfortunately, we wrote them a check.
Oh. All right. Then the complaint process will keep going with that. And, you know, you can always check in with the consumer specialist who's working on your complaint for an update.
Is this Appliance World by any chance?
Oh, you certainly is.
Okay. We are working closely with their attorney, and it may take a while to work things through, but they are very interested in making things right for the consumers. So that's the good news.
Oh.
It may take some time, but we're working with their attorneys.
So I shouldn't wait to purchase a microwave, but I just worry about getting my money back?
Well, at this point, when we met with the owners last, they are trying to get everyone their products because they are the products in the warehouse. It's a matter of releasing them from the landlord and the finance company. So we are working on all of that with Appliance World, as Sandy mentioned. So
okay. Then we'll just hold tight.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call. Ron in Sparta. Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Recently, I belong to a couple Department of Defense and FEMA websites, and from the indications they gave me that the federal government says about 1.5 or 6 million computers are infected with malware that is spreading a virus throughout the United States, that if you don't have your system upgraded, Microsoft upgraded, when the updates come on file, that your system could be infected with a malware that is causing some major problems throughout the computer industry. And as of March 8th, they are going to have the option to shut down your system. And I just wondered if you'd heard anything on this.
Was that an email, or how did you get that information?
I believe, yes, it was an email.
Yeah. And was there a link to click?
What's that?
Did the email prompt you to click on a link that took you to this website?
No, it wasn't actually a website. It was just an information. The information that said that if you're not running the updates as you're supposed to be when they become available on your screen through Microsoft, or if your system has not downloaded updates, that you'll be subject to a computer shut off because your system could be or is infected with malware?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds a little
suspicious.
Bit phony to me. And there are a number of email scams out there from people pretending to be the FBI and the IRS, so it wouldn't surprise me to hear that there were the same scams using the names of FEMA and DOD. As a general rule, you should update your antivirus software on a regular basis, and if you can set the updates to happen automatically, so you don't even have to think about it. I just there's something that doesn't sound quite right, because typically DOD and FEMA do not email consumers about this kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'd be suspicious for sure. Thanks for calling, Ron. Appreciate it. Jerry in Janesville, on to you now. Hi.
Hi, this is Jerry. I talked to your person there. And anyways, my wife has to do with insurance.
Okay.
Health insurance. My wife is working at this place where she was working full-time. She had full-time benefits. And agency came in and was to reduce the overhead. And they ended up making her part-time and firing a bunch of other people and reducing, jobs and cutting, positions. But my question is, with her being full-time and then going to part-time, The benefits have gone up substantially. They're like $400, you know, a month, and they said that I wasn't to drop me from her insurance. It wasn't a qualifying event, I guess, and I can actually get cheaper, or my insurance would be cheaper if I would have actually been canceled from her insurance, and then I could have gone out and gotten insurance from my company, which wouldn't have cost us $400 a month. So I'm kind of stuck. I don't know.
Yeah, that involves regulation of health insurance and things like COBRA, where you can carry your health insurance from one employer to another. And my best advice would be to contact the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, and they should be able to point you in a direction.
And that would be, that's probably an 800 number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you call our 800 number, they'll be able to give you the number, and that's 1-800-422-7128.
422-7128. Okay. Well, good luck, Jerry. Thank you for calling. And Nick in Green Bay, hello to you.
Hi, the guy that was talking about the viruses on the computers, it's actually true. I was listening to a lady named Tim Commando, and they're estimating that half the computers in the country have this virus. In March 8th, if you don't have it off your computer, the FBI is talking about stepping in and restricting your internet access. That way they don't spread it to any other computers.
Wow.
Well, okay. That's what it is. I know she gave the Kim Commando, she gave a link to have your computer scanned for the virus, but I don't remember remembering the address. But that's what's going to happen, is they're talking about like limiting the internet access of all the computers that are infected.
It is so important to have antivirus software loaded on your computer and keep it updated. There are a number of viruses now that allow a criminal to track your keystrokes, which, you know, if you do banking online or use your credit card online, it allows them to capture that information. So make sure you have your operating system and your antivirus software updated all the time.
Thanks, Nick, for calling. Tom in La Crosse, hi.
Oh, hi. The reason I'm calling was in regards to the do not call list. I think we're looking at it incorrectly, and it should be a call list. In other words, if I want to be called by a telemarketer, I'll let you know. If you don't hear from me, just assume that I don't want to be contacted. I think it requires a lot less staff manning the phone lines on your end, and just much easier to manage.
Well, that's not the first time I've had that suggestion to turn it to an opt-in rather than an opt-out type of deal. The no-call list works very well for the purpose it was designed. We have more than 400 companies, many of them nationally known companies that sell insurance, they sell cars, they're banks, they sell credit cards. They have registered with the state. They get the no-call list four times a year, scrub their calling lists against the no-call list, and everything works just fine. The problem is these boiler room type operations from overseas that are using the internet to call, and I know they're driving everybody crazy, but we're doing what we can and working with our federal partners in other states to track these people down and put them out of business.
We have a Facebook question or comment from Nicholas. My landlord lost the house I was renting to the bank, and she never gave anyone, she didn't give any deposits back. What do I do about my deposit? Plus, she filed bankruptcy. Did she get a free $600? That's what the deposit was.
Well, we'd want you to file a complaint. Make sure you're doing that piece of it. Because there's a bankruptcy, it's going to get more complex as to, you know, was this waived as part of the bankruptcy, or is the money still there? Are you listed as a creditor? Where you are in that standing? But we'd encourage you to file the complaint against that landlord so we can get involved in that communication and conversation.
Charlie in Beaver Dam, hello.
Hi. All of a sudden, AT&T, actually, I got a call. I canceled AT&T probably last April. All of a sudden, in the middle of summer, I got a call from a collection agency saying that I owe AT&T $144. And I'd like to know what I should do about it. I tried to talk to AT&T. They can't even tell me that. They said I don't owe them any money anymore. But I'm still in collections. The collections people can't tell me what AT&T was trying to collect money for. I thought maybe I didn't end it properly, but I thought I did. I asked them, I said, do I owe you any more money when I discontinued? I talked to AT&T, and they say I don't owe them anything.
Yeah, that'd be, Charlie, another situation where we'd want you to file the complaint, because there are regulations as far as collection companies pursuing illegitimate debt. And we'd first probably start a communication with AT&T and make sure that they say to us the same thing they're saying to you about there not being any money to collect on. And then your complaint may end up being referred over to another agency that deals with the collection side of things to look at the regulation about the illegitimate debt collection.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I never even knew. I kind of forgot you guys even existed.
Well, that's why they're here. 1-800-422-7128. That's why they're with us today. Help out people. Shane in Indiana. Your turn. Hi, Shane.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I have, an issue that happens very commonly with cell phone plans that are offered by the large cell phone companies. Recently, I was given the opportunity to upgrade to a smartphone, and I did. And along with that, they gave me a discount for being a teacher within a local school system, and I was happy to take that extra $30 for the data plan if I was getting this new discount. However, when I received my first bill, it was larger than expected. I inquired about it, and I was instructed to just wait an extra month for the next bill to come out, because there were certain charges that would come down because the first month always had extra charges. So basically I waited, and the bill was the same. So when I called back, they had told me that it was only a discount on the talking portion rather than the data as well. And I feel like I was misled at that point. Basically just had to eat that because I had signed the 2-year agreement. And after we had this discussion, I basically was trying to find ways to lower my costs, and the cell phone operator then at that time was giving me different options, and basically we had gotten somewhere, and in the end I started asking more and more questions, realizing in the end that I would be paying more per month for my new data plan than I was before. I know that's a lot to follow, and it took a very lengthy conversation with the operator to get through all of the material that they were putting forth. But what I got from all of this basically is that the cell phones, the companies, I think, regularly change their plans to give us less for more. And I would just, everyone that has a cell phone, which is probably all of the listeners, just be aware that maybe the plan that you're currently on is the grandfathered plan that does make the most sense, rather than change to a new plan.
Yeah.
Right, Shane, that's a great point, is you need to make sure you're taking notes, doing comparisons of what you currently have versus what it is you're going to get when you enter that conversation and are looking at upgrading your phone or changing plans, because the service hours of any time minutes changes regularly, and your data plans, if it's all included unlimited data or if you're limited to a certain amount of data, and what is your end monthly bill going to end up being. before and after taxes and do that comparison. What will my hours be? How many minutes will I get? And see what's best for you. And then, are you locking yourself into a 2-year plan, a 1-year plan, or are you month to month? So, you know, and are you required to change plans if you're upgrading your phone? Those are all considerations you need to make and evaluate. Make sure you're taking those notes. And if you go towards that new contract, that before you leave that business, you need to make sure you have it all in writing and follow it up with your first bill and your second bill and be comparing.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. And Elizabeth in Neillsville. Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay? Or
yes.
I'm in the bedroom away from the phone. I have an issue about the Social Security number and these cable companies. I recently checked, and I wanted to see about signing up. I'm an elderly person. She will not do it without our total Social Security number as a credit check. Isn't that wrong?
There are a number of service providers, whether it be your phone, your utility, or your television, whether it's cable or satellite, that do want to do that credit check. And the way they need to do that is through having a Social Security number. So if you want to receive their service, you may need to provide that number. You can ask if there's an alternative. If they don't have one, if you want to receive the service, you're going to have to get it. But ask some questions. How are they protecting it? How long do they hold it? Do they destroy it after the credit check? So you can have some comfort level with that.
Well, that might help a little, because my gut just told me, wow, you know, that's like blackmail.
Yeah.
And the Social Security says, don't use your number for credit and all that. And then they turn around and they won't give us if we don't. And, boy, I felt really upset about it.
It's great that you were on guard about it and hesitant, because you don't want to just give that number out willy-nilly.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you ever so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Elizabeth. Marion in Appleton, let's go to you next. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, just this morning, I contracted over a year ago for my daughter's bathroom to be remodeled, and we're having a problem, and we have had for a little while with what I think is sewer gas coming up through the sink in this remodeled bathroom. And the provider, I went over there to tell them that they needed to come, because it suddenly has gotten very, very bad, that they needed to come over and take a look at it and what have you. And she informed me that their work was only guaranteed for a year, and we're over that time span. Here's my problem, is that when I got home, I looked through, because this was all written in contracts, and there's absolutely nothing in there that says that their work is guaranteed for beyond a year, I wouldn't be covered. Do I have any recourse?
You would another one of those situations where we're going to want you to file a complaint so we can look at it. If there is a limit on the warranty or guarantee, that should be in writing or represented to you in some way, in a written form, whether it be a brochure or through their advertising, so you are made aware of that up front as part of your service agreement, your contract. But at the same time, there's no requirement that a contractor provide any guarantee or warranty to work. So if they represent one to you, it should be in writing. If they don't have one, there may be no conversation about it, and there can be no assumption that one exists. So we'll want you to file that complaint, and we can help sort through that.
Sounds like an issue that could be fixed, actually, from another program. I talked to some building people who talked about how to fix that. Mm-hmm. So I know it can be fixed. Thanks for calling. Chris wonders if you guys have any had any complaints about Groupon or Living Social deals. Anything come up?
I can't think of any offhand, but I do know just from reading about these that you can run into problems where, you know, you buy a coupon for a massage, for instance, during a specific window of time, and then you call to schedule your appointment. They say, well, we're booked. So, again, this is a situation where you want to ask all the questions in advance and understand what your options are in a situation where they can't schedule you within, because you've already paid your money by that point for the coupon.
Yeah. And there's sometimes some fine print. I know there was, we actually purchased one, and it turned out that it was for a restaurant, and we went to the restaurant and we said, well, no, you can't use it unless you call and make a reservation in advance. And, you know, hadn't read the fine print closely enough. So, you know, that's what happens if you don't, if you're not careful. You two are pretty careful. Thanks for coming by. We'll
thank
have you,
you
back,
Larry,
in a while, and we'll do this again.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Sandy Chalmers, Michelle Reinen, our two guests today from the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Tomorrow at 11, Mark Dwyer from the Rotary Gardens in Janesville stops by to share his ideas for vertical gardening from tight spaces and vegetables and ornamental edibles and a whole lot more. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network.